Amen. All right, we ready? Let's take our Bibles, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And whenever you find that, go ahead and stand. Now, Sunday nights, so, you know, this is really the last Sunday night until Pastor moves on to Arizona. Next week is, it'll be Sunday afternoon. Next week will be Fellowship Sunday. Pastor will be preaching all day, except for Sunday school. I'll do Sunday school. We'll do Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon, which I'm looking forward to that. And be there for that, if all possible, be there for that. And then the following Sunday is when I'll start preaching every Sunday night. And that when that happens, the Lord willing, we're going to start in Joshua 1. And I'm excited about that. And I almost started in Joshua 1 tonight, but I wanted to let Pastor finish Deuteronomy, right? You got to be in order here, okay? Line by line, precept by precept. And so I love it that we get to pick up where we left off, and that'll start next week. Tonight is special because tonight's our church, annual church administrative meeting. I've heard another church call it their church family meeting. I like it. I don't know if we'll change it to that or not. But it's our meeting where we talk about kind of what God's done the previous year. It's kind of like the state of the church address, huh? Yeah, I like that. I like that. Other churches call it that too. That's pretty snazzy. Whatever it is, it's a church. We're going to have us a church family meeting. And so I thought it would be appropriate just to relay the foundation of who we are. At Valley Avenue Baptist Church, Ephesians 4:12, you've probably heard that verse mentioned here and there. You'll see in the foyer, you'll see from our passage tonight, but in the foyer you see growing, serving, investing. If you look close underneath, it has the Bible references and the words. That's Ephesians 4:12. And as a church, that's who Pastor and I, we got together and really, what are we supposed to be doing? Who are we? What does God want? And again, we, like I said this morning, we're not going to decide who we are and then go find some verses, right? And so we dug and studied and asked God to show us who he wants us to be as a church. And it is here in Ephesians 4:12. Now, we're going to really deal with most of this chapter, but we're going to just read verse 12, and then we'll get the context as we preach. So, verse 12, the Bible says this, "For the perfecting of the saints," by the way, that's growing, being completed as a Christian. The saint, no one gets to decide who's a saint. The Bible says a saint is anyone who's saved. It's not special saved people that some group of people decided now they're a saint. A saint is a saved person. And saved people need to be perfected. That means we're not perfect. And we need to grow, don't we? Well, how do we do that? The Word of God. You see? The perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. We need to be involved in the work of the ministry. We're all ministers. And we minister to each other. Personally, but then we all need to be involved with the ministry of Valley Avenue Baptist Church. If Valley Avenue Baptist Church is going to do something, Valley Avenue Baptist Church is going to do it, you see. We need to be involved. And we'll say more about all of these. And then for the edifying of the body of Christ, body of Christ being our church, right? Valley Avenue Baptist Church is the body, the group of people, the assembly that is in Fall City, Nebraska, here to reach this city and the cities beyond. And we need to edify one another. We need to invest. That's it, right? Growing, serving, investing. We need to invest in each other, minister to each other in a personal way, and help each other to be who God wants us to be. We need each other, don't we? We need that. We need that. And so growing, serving, investing, we'll pray. And really what you'll find is that verse is also an outline for really all of chapter 4. We'll show that to you. I'm excited to do that. So let's pray and we'll get into it. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for Valley Avenue Baptist Church. Thank you for the leadership of Pastor Moore and how you've led him, Lord, to lead our church this way. And obviously we understand ultimately it's you and your word that have led us this way. And help us, God, to, as a church family, to take this passage to heart and to take our personal responsibility in this to heart and to follow you. We love you. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So again, as you've attended our church, You may have noticed around the building the words growing, serving, investing. They're in the foyer, there are other places. And the reason why is because that's the vision of our church. It's what we're all about. Valley Avenue Baptist Church is all about growing and serving and investing. And again, as we said this morning, we want the Bible to be our guide, don't we? We want the Bible to be our guide. And the Bible says this is what a church ought to be. And I can, you know, preach whatever I want and say things that I think are important, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says is important. And if I'm going to tell you what God thinks about a church is supposed to be, it's right here in Ephesians 4:12. You know, it makes my job a lot easier. I'm glad. I remember when I was when I first was called into ministry to preach, I was overwhelmed. I don't know, fear, but an anxiety about coming up with something to say 3 times a week. What am I going to tell these people? I don't have to figure it out. I'm so thankful. It's a relief. I don't know how guys do that. And I just tell you what the Bible says, and I'm thankful for Ephesians chapter 4. And so we strive to do everything we do based upon the teaching and the principles of the Word of God, and then God's leadership. And so these, again, concepts are not ones we've come up with on our own. They're found in Ephesians 4:12. I explained it to you. Now the three individual words sum up the principle there, but the idea comes right from this verse. And so we'll first give you a little bit of context and help you see what Paul is accomplishing and obviously what the Holy Spirit was intending with this passage. So Ephesians is a book written to, you know, Ephesus, the church at Ephesus. And the first three chapters, very similar in some ways to 1 Thessalonians. Now, the church at Ephesus had some more issues to deal with, but really the format's very similar to that of 1 Thessalonians, where for three chapters, Paul is laying foundations. He's giving a lot of doctrine, rich, rich doctrine. It would bless you to read the first three chapters of Ephesians and to find out what we have in Christ, to find out the spiritual riches that are ours. And, you know, even as we said in Sunday school, you know, you'll know some of these things, but then when you start to reckon them, you know, and apply the spiritual blessings that God has, it'll really change you, it'll really help you. So, but that's what he was doing for really three chapters and explaining to that church who they are, who they are. He wasn't saying to be in Christ, he was helping them to see they are in Christ. And again, they need to reckon that and make that a part and be, really it's this, be who they are. And in chapter 4, that's when he starts to do that. He kind of shifts gears and explains how to take that doctrine that they've learned and how that should affect them, affect the church at Ephesus. And again, as we say, we need to keep this in our mind. Let's not let the doctrinal winds of our culture change what we think about church. When we say the church, we're not talking about every saved person. When we say the church, we're talking about the church, Valley Avenue Baptist Church, the church which is in Falls City, and there's the church that is in St. Joseph, Riverside Baptist Church, and there's the church that is in Leawood, Kansas. That's where Brother Drinkard is, the church. And so we need to take the doctrines that we know and take it out of just the up there in the sky, the theoretical, and take it and make it practical in our church. And when we say that, we need to make it practical in each member of Valley Avenue Baptist Church, you see. And so biblical doctrine should affect how a church operates. In verse 1, Paul strongly urged them. Look at verse 1. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. When he says beseech, that means he's begging them. It's almost like he's on his knees begging them to do what? That you would walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And so as believers, listen, we are called, aren't we? We're called out of the world. We're called to live for Christ. And we've done nothing to earn that. We've done nothing to earn our salvation. All we've done is accept the call. God calls all men, doesn't he? He doesn't call specific men. He doesn't choose who he wants to be saved and who doesn't. God calls all men. All we've done is accept the call. But now that we have accepted the call, now that we have been rescued from eternal damnation, and we have been become part of the in Christ, the saints, now what we need to do is walk worthy of that calling. Are you following? That's what we ought to do. Yeah. It should affect us. It'll affect your eternity right off the bat. And the moment you're saved, your eternity's different. That's awesome. But it's supposed to also affect your present, you see. Today and the rest of your life needs to be changed and different. And so Paul gives, really in this passage, three major things that healthy church members do. Okay? That healthy church members of healthy churches do. And really this is in the context of the local church. Now there's a lot of personal things that it does affect in your life personally and when you're at home that, you know, we can't neglect that. But the context of this is to see what a church does, a healthy church does, and what healthy church members do. And there's three major things, three major ways that church members can do this, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith they were called. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of nerdy stuff here in verse 1, but I'm thankful for our King James Bible, because look at verse 1. I'm going to explain something to you. This will maybe help you down the road. He says, I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech, what's that word? You. What? I thought you wasn't in there. I thought it was always thee or thou. Well, there's four words for you in our King James Bible, in Old English. It helps to know this. There's thee, there's thou, there's ye, and there's you. If you have a Y on it, now all of them are you in our English, our modern English, some would say our dumbed down English, whatever you want to call it. All of those in our mind put you and you got it. It's fine. But there's more to it, isn't there? If there's a Y, ye or you, it's really y'all. Okay? Yins. As brother, what's his name? Adam, brother Adams would say. From Arkansas. Yins. Y'all. You is you plural. And ye is you plural, okay? If it's th, thou, or thee, it's you one. Okay? Are we doing okay? And here it says you. He's talking to the church. Y'all. Yins. Yins need to walk worthy. So now my English is really sophisticated, so I'm doing good. Listen, keep looking. Worthy of the vocation wherewith what? Ye. That's a Y, isn't it? Ye. Our cult, as a church body. This is how a church body walks worthy. Now we need to, thou need to walk worthy. That's one. And if thou, all the thous, walk worthy individually, then ye, all y'all, will walk worthy. Are you following? But the context of this is ye, is the church body. Okay, nerdy hat taken off. Doing good? All right. And so there's three things. Number one is this. Members of a healthy church will do this. Strive for unity. Members of a healthy church strive for unity. Look at verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body. What's that? Church body. And one Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, has called all of us into the same body, church body, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And so as believers, the church at Ephesus, they needed to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And to keep unity, they would need to be lowly. It requires a certain attitude, doesn't it? And a mindset to be lowly, to be meek, to be long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. The church is full of saved people who are still sinners. A healthy church is constantly forgiving and asking for forgiveness. Brother Chad, you've already dealt with this on Wednesday. I know it, but it's here again because we need to hear that over and over, that we need to be forgiving each other and we need to be asking for forgiveness constantly if we're going to be in unity. A healthy church member will see conflict with another church member as a big deal and seek reconciliation. That's a healthy church member. We need to be keeping the bond of peace. But there's another aspect to that. To keep the unity, they need to unify around something. We're not just unifying for the sake of unity. We're not a social club who just gathers and hangs out and we don't want to be mad at each other. No, the reason why it matters so badly that we're unified is because we're unified around something. What is that? We're unified around the Word of God. We're unified around doctrine. The church at Ephesus were unified, their body, their church, around the Spirit, the hope of their calling, around their Lord, around their faith, that's their doctrine, around their baptism, around their God. They were to unify around these. What are these? Doctrinal issues. We need to be unified by our doctrine, first of all, and then personally, and not the opposite. We can't just be getting a group of people and ignore doctrine so we don't offend. No. We unify around our doctrine, not our ethnic background, not our social status, not our age group, not our musical style preference. We were to find, and they were to find, deep, transcending unity in what? Around their belief in God and their belief in God's Word. And if there are major disagreements in doctrine, then we don't have anything to unify around. Nope. We unify around what we believe the Bible says. In the church at Ephesus, we're not to sacrifice doctrine for the sake of unity. Doctrine was actually the basis of their unity. And it ought to be that way for us, shouldn't it? And if there's anyone in here who has, and as I'm preaching from the pulpit and I'm saying some things and you're like, I don't believe that. Well, let's not let that settle. Come talk to me about it. We need to be on the same page doctrinally. We do. Yeah. The Valley Avenue Baptist Church is to keep our unity. We're going to have to need to work to love one another, and we're going to need to be of one mind doctrinally. That's how we unify. Yeah. We need to take conflict seriously. And we always need to seek reconciliation. And we cannot sacrifice doctrine for the sake of unity. And so members of a healthy church are interested in unity. Next is this. Members of a healthy church are servants. They're servants. Christ has given each member of the church certain gifts that are to be used in his service as part of that church. That church. Look at verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, he ascended upon high, and he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. And then verse 9 and 10 explain how he led captivity captive, and for the sake of time, we're not going to deal with that today. But after he did that, after he really laid the mercy blood on the mercy seat, and he paid the payment for our sin, he then gave gifts. The Holy Spirit came and dwelt the hearts of men and gave gifts to each church member. And we're supposed to take that seriously. We're supposed to find out what that is, and we're supposed to use it for God's glory in this body. That's the point. Verse 7 makes clear that every one of us has been gifted by the grace of God. And it says by measure, according to the measure. Now, measure does not mean like some of you have more gifts than others. It's not like you have a tape measure and we measure each other's gifts. That's not what it means. It means an allotment, a specific portion. That means that God gives every church member, if you're a member of Valley Avenue Baptist Church, the Bible says that God has given you a specific portion, specific gifts and abilities that he intends for you to use specifically in the local church. This local church. I'm not saying that. God says that. That's God's plan. And he says in verse 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure, again, there it is, of every part, maketh increase of the body, and to the edifying of itself in love. And so verse 16 says that the body is fitly joined together by Christ according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. And that is how the church maketh increase. If we want to move forward, then every member of the body, every body part of the body that is Valley Avenue Baptist Church, with Christ at our head, each member of the body needs to be doing their part. They need to be involved. God does not call any church member to sit on the sidelines. We need to be involved in the battle. Yeah. And sitting in the pew is awesome. You need to be in your pew. But God never intended for that to be the end of it. We need to serve, don't we? We need to serve each other. Remember, we're ministers. That's what minister means, servant. But we need to be involved in the ministry, don't we? Yeah. It's God's plan that every member of Valley Avenue Baptist Church, not Pastor Chad's plan, not Pastor Moore's plan, it is God's plan that every member of Valley Avenue Baptist Church to be involved in ministry somehow. And God has given you specific gifts, and he's gifted you in specific ways. Not everybody needs to be the pastor. That'd be weird. Okay? That'd be fight, wait, and heaven. No. But everyone has a role. My role is no different. I mean, it is different, obviously. But it's not more important. Okay? I'm just a different part of the body. And you're a part of the body. And God has a plan and a specific purpose for each body part. We can't all be an eyeball. Paul said in Romans 12, if we were all an eyeball, then how are we going to hear anything? But I want to be the eye. Well, sorry, we need ears too. And we can't all be feet because we need hands. We can't all be hands because we need feet. We all need each other. And if part of the body is not operating, we call that body sick or crippled, don't we? If our body is not doing what the head tells it, not what I tell it, I'm not the head of this church. No way. I don't want that. Christ is the head of this church. And our body parts are all connected by nerve endings to what? The head. And Christ is trying to get you to move and do your part in the body. And if you're not going to move, you're paralyzed, then what it does is it hinders the forward progress of the body. Look at the end of verse 16. You think I'm kidding? Maketh increase of the body. When every church body part is involved in doing its part, that is what maketh increase of the body and moves the way that the head wants it to move. Yeah. And so God's given you specific gifts to be used to serve in this church, and your job is to find your place in the body. That's your job. And each body part is very important to the functioning of the body. And I want us to take this to heart too. Every church is fully equipped to be the church God wants it to be. Doesn't matter how big or small the church is. Every church God has placed in that body and equipped that body to be the church that God wants it to be. And just because God moves some members out from this church to another church, who did that again? God did that. And so God put body parts into that church, at the body that is at Western Hills Baptist Church in Glendale, Arizona. But that does not mean that we are now deficient and unable to do what we're supposed to do. No, God equips each church, and we are fully equipped always to be the church God wants us to be. It's not like we need people to come so that now we can be who God wants us to be. Now, we don't need another pianist necessarily to be who God wants us to be right now. If God brings a pianist, then now God wants us to be the church with that pianist. But God has equipped us to be the church he wants us to be right now. And the way that happens is not by adding more members so they'll do the work. It's by the members of Valley Avenue Baptist Church heeding the call and being the body part. It's more funny than anything, but I heard a guy at Southwest Baptist Church, he was preaching, and he said, let's not, none of us be the back fat of the church. And so anyway, I don't know exactly what that means, but I don't want to be the back fat either, so anyway. All right. So there you go. You need to be involved in the ministry. All right. Next. Can we move on? Okay. Members of a healthy church are this, are doctrinally sound and stable. Healthy members of a healthy church are doctrinally sound and stable. Look at verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Let's not be carried around by doctrine. How do we fix that? Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. That all the words in that sentence are very important, aren't they? Speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even who? Christ. He's the head, right? So Paul told the members of the church at Ephesus that they should not be tossed to and fro. Don't be children who are tossed to and fro doctrinally, carried with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Even in Paul's day, Christianity was just a few years old, and there were already all kinds of false Christianities out there. Already. If you don't think that there's no confusion doctrinally and we should all just be doing the same thing and we should get, you know, we shouldn't be so petty about our doctrine and we're really dividing the body. No, the body's been divided since the beginning. Why? Because there are men out there who are lying in wait to deceive with false doctrines. There were false teachers who were looking to deceive them. Now, most likely, those false deceivers, they were already deceived. Most likely. Someone started it, but then they got deceived, and then they go ahead and deceive others. Okay, but that doesn't change the fact that they are deceiving and pulling people out. And over, even in Paul's day, it's incredible to me that over and over he says things like this, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who messed with you doctrinally?" Well, what does that imply? There are people out there who have false doctrines, who are pulling out the ranks of Christianity and pulling them to these false gatherings who are teaching false doctrines, and they might not be doing it on purpose, but it doesn't change the fact that there are bodies of people around who don't believe the Bible but say they do and are pulling Christians into their little circle and keeping them away from the true body of Christ and doing the work of Christ. Paul was pretty pumped about that. Paul was pretty upset about that. Maybe not in a fleshly way, but it definitely got in his crawl, didn't it? Over and over again. And I think it's okay that we feel that way a little bit. Let's not be mad at them. Let's not be mad at those who are deceived and deceiving, but let's take doctrine seriously and have a burden for those who are deceived doctrinally. Yeah. Again, doctrine is the bedrock, the foundation of their unity. And if they're carried about by false doctrine, the winds of doctrine, well, that church says this. And a wind of doctrine will blow by you. And let's not be carried about every time we hear someone else say something else about what the Bible says. Yeah. The only way to combat that, to combat against false doctrine, is to do this. Speak the truth in love. Yins need to speak the truth in love. I think Brother Adams says it's weans. Weans. Now that doesn't make sense, okay? But anyway. But weans need to be speaking the truth in love. Okay? Alright. We ones, I guess. Is that it? Anyway. Can you y'all? I'm saying y'all, I'm cool. I'm poor. We all. Yeah. Okay. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm following. Okay. All right. He's our Arkansas translator. I appreciate that. But here's what we need to do. We need to speak the truth in love. Not just me, not just Brother Tim, not just other men in our church who get up behind the pulpit. No, we all need to be able to speak the truth in love. Remember this. You have to remember this. It's not a personal thing between you and someone else who believes something else. Those false teachers are usually already deceived themselves. You have to remember that. Paul said in Timothy, another book where he blasts false doctrine, he says they deceive and are being deceived. That's what's happening. And it's happened since the beginning. But here's the thing, we want to reach them as well. If someone believes false doctrine, we don't want to just blow them up and make them feel little. No, we need to reach them too. They need Christ too. And we don't need to be angry or unkind or combative when we speak the truth. But we also can't ignore the truth. We need both. We need to speak the truth in love. We need to be able to help others see the truth of the Word of God in a loving way, not in a combative way. Listen, convincing men, not debating men. We're not interested in debating men. If they don't want any of this, if they're not open to a discussion, we're not interested in a debate. We're interested in convincing men. Yeah. However, you cannot speak the truth in love unless you actually understand the truth. We need to be using our own brains, you see. He says, don't be children anymore. And there is a time when you're a new Christian. The Bible calls you a babe in Christ. And a baby is reliant upon others to be fed. And there's a place for that. And as a new Christian, it is appropriate and right to trust the man of God. We don't need to be always criticizing and trying to find out where he's wrong. You know, there's something good about trusting the man of God, but there has to come a point where you believe it for yourself. My faith is not enough for you. You see? We need to, like, when our kids, when they're babies, they're fully dependent. When they're kids, they're still dependent, they're children, right? And they do some things on their own, but they still rely on us. When they're teenagers, listen, sometime in the teenage years, they need to get it for themselves. Or they're going to be 18 and they're going to go wacko. And oftentimes the reason they go wacko is because we've not instilled it in them. We've just told them, do this. Don't be rebellious about it. No, explain it to them. And our Christian life is no different. We need to be taught, but at some point, we need to also know for ourselves so that we can teach ourselves and we can teach others. And we can speak the truth in love to others. But to do that, we're going to have to grow up spiritually and grow up doctrinally and maybe do less hobbies and more studying. I mean, this is the book that you base your eternity on, isn't it? I feel like it deserves time every day. I mean, you are basing your forever on this. And you're supposed to be basing your every day on this. And you don't know what it says? You're just going to trust me? Don't do that. I'm an idiot. The only thing I know is what this says. You need to know what this says. And I want to help you know what this says. I got nothing for you. I'm 31. I joke that I'm old, but I'm young. I don't know nothing. But the Bible knows quite a bit. And we need to learn what that says. You see. And I will be glad to help you with that. I don't know anything else, Harvey. But I can help you know what this says. And that's what we need to be, isn't it? But we need to get to a place where you can know for yourself what this says, and you can help others know what this says. And you can't do that unless you know what it says. You doing good? All right. We need to know. We need to be constantly learning. The point is, we need to want to learn. We want to know. We want to find out what the Bible says. Yeah. Now, we're almost done. Verse 11 and 12. All of this, really centered around this whole thing, is verses 11 and 12, where he says this. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, what's that? That's the leadership of the church. Okay, some of those offices are no longer. Apostles and prophets are gone, but evangelists and pastors and teachers are still around. But the point is, these are the leadership of the church. Why did he give them? For this. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Are you seeing how those three things sum up everything we just said? I hope you do. Yeah. Verse 12 was a summation of everything he said from verses 2 to 16. And the perfecting of the saints, that's the doctrinal part, isn't it? That's the growing. How do we grow? How are we perfected? It's by the Word of God. It's by knowing this book. And part of my job is to help you grow in this book. That's part of my job. And I'm going to preach it. And I'm going to say some things that we're not going to like. But it's right out of the book. And my job is to tell you what the Bible says about things. And when you come to me for counsel, I'm going to tell you what the book says about it. And we're going to be perfected by the Word of God. You see, we need to grow that way. The work of the ministry. What's that? That's serving, isn't it? That's being part of the body. That's the body part. Part of my job is to help you serve. And I'm not going to apologize for saying, you need to serve. Why am I not going to apologize for that? Because God told me to tell you that. And I'm going to do what God tells me to do. And God tells me to tell you, you need to grow in the Word of God. You need to know the doctrines of the Word of God. You need to be perfected by the Word of God. What does that mean? You need to be in the Bible every day for yourself. You need to be here when the doors are open. Why? Because when the doors are open, what's happening? We are perfecting each other in what? In the Word of God. And if that doesn't excite you, I'm telling you, there is a problem. And it's my job to tell you that that's a problem. That if you don't want to be here when the Word of God is being proclaimed, not just because you're being ashamed for it, and I'm never going to shame you for it, but I will tell you, if you do not want to be under the preaching of the Word of God and perfect it, there is a problem. And that's my job to tell you that. And if you do not want to serve, and if you say, my job is to sit in the pew, and I'm supposed to sit here and let others serve me, my job is to tell you, that is a problem. My job is to do that. And I will never apologize for that. I will never apologize for that. Now, I will do my best to do it in love. But I'm not going to apologize for that because that is what God's called me to do. And then the last one is the edifying of the body of Christ. What's that? Well, that means we need to be like friends with each other. We need to encourage one another. We need to strive for unity. Isn't that what's happening here? And we need to invest in each other. And again, I will never apologize for telling you that you need to be investing in the other church members of Valley Avenue Baptist Church. And you need to be allowing the other church members to invest in you. And it is my job to tell you that if you do not want to be around God's people, if you do not want to be edified, if you do not want to be encouraged, if you do not want to invest, and if you do not want to be invested in by your church family, that is a problem. And it is my job to tell you that. And I'll be faithful to do it. Not everyone appreciates that. And we've had people come and say, you know what, I just don't feel like we need to be buddy-buddy friends all the time. You know what? I just don't feel like we all need to be, you know, asked to serve so many times. You know, and I don't feel like we need that much Bible preaching all the time. And I'm sorry, that's what we're going to keep doing. We're going to keep preaching the Word of God. We're going to keep serving the Lord. We're going to keep investing in each other. And I hope you're on board. But that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. We're going to be growing. We're going to be serving. And we're going to be investing. And we're going to be calling out to the community and saying, if you want to be involved with that, come on. And let's grow, and let's serve, and let's invest. That's Valley Avenue Baptist Church. That's our job. And we're going to do it with a good spirit. We're going to do it with a loving attitude. And we're not going to shame anybody who doesn't want to be involved at all. But we are going to be burdened for them, aren't we? We're going to love on them. We're going to serve our community. How? By bringing them the Word of God. Bringing in the gospel of Jesus Christ with a heart that is burdened that men be reconciled to God. A heart that is burdened that men give God what he deserves and really what we need, which is this, to learn from him, to learn from God, to serve God, and to invest in God's people. That's what God deserves. That's what we need. And that's Yen's job is to tell that to each other and to the world. That's what we're about. Growing, serving, investing. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the humbling reality it is. You've called me to help your people in these areas, or to grow, to learn, to fall in love with your word and with the doctrines of your word. Serve you with our heart, invest in each other. And God, we need your help for all of those things. And God, help me to be who you want me to be in that process, but help all of us, God, to be who you want all of us to be, to take our part in the body seriously, and to watch as we move forward and accomplish the purposes of the head, which is me. And God, thank you to Valley Avenue Baptist Church. Thank you for the great spirit. Thank you for the attitude that says that we want to move forward. I pray that you bless that and help us to do that. You have been blessing my prayer. Amen. You would be